Hey. Are you live?
The sound heard around the world. Coming to you from the Badger's Den in Mount Vernon, Ohio. This is Four Pillar Podcast with Matt, the Honey Badger, Goddard Meyer, and Ian, Vanilla Gorilla, Lashley.
Welcome back to the Four Pillar Podcast, and today we have Leslie. She is one of our blue belts that is a part of... You're blue belt, right? I almost said purple belt. Blue belt.
Almost purple.
Yeah, okay. she's a blue belt, a part of our jiu-jitsu program, and we have her in today because we want to talk about women and jiu-jitsu, and also talk about, I think, self-defense as well is a pretty hot topic to talk about as well. I think it's really important, and just my opinion too. I think jiu-jitsu is one of the best forms of self-defense for for women, especially if you're going to continue and train to do it. So really quick, Leslie, can you tell us about yourself and what you do as a career and kind of how long you've been doing jiu-jitsu and anything else you want to share about yourself?
Sure. So I started jiu-jitsu about almost two and a half years ago. It wasn't a sport that I was ever interested in or thought I would want to do. My sons were doing it here at Lashley's and wanted me to try it, so which I was pretty resistant to at first. But they asked me just to do one class and see what I thought. So I came in and did a class and was pretty addicted from the first class. So
because of what?
I think it was the challenge that, there's so much to learn and you suck at it at first. It's hard and there's just this challenge to learn and get better. And I'm a forensic nurse is my job. So it's pretty... It's like a heavy job. It can be stressful. And I feel like coming in to do jiu-jitsu, I forget everything else in my, just kind of role. So I like
that. For anybody who doesn't know, what's a forensic nurse?
A forensic nurse is a nurse who sees patients at the hospital who have been victims of crime. So sexual assault, domestic violence, human trafficking, general assaults, things like that.
That sounds like an interesting job in itself.
It is very interesting. Yeah.
What do you like about your job?
I like that there's a lot of different aspects to it. I get to work with patients. I work with law enforcement. I work with prosecution. I do a lot of education for my job as well. So there's just a lot of different aspects. It's never boring. I get to help people. So
that's very cool.
Yeah.
Now, I know you kind of got introduced to jiu-jitsu. Did you kind of find that because you feel like you needed self-defense, or did you ever have an altercation in your job or previous jobs? Or
no, it was the boys that talked me into trying jiu-jitsu. Okay. I probably would not have tried it. When they asked me to do it, I was like, ew, no, I'm not going to go roll around on the mats with dirty boys. So that was my initial reaction, but
okay.
Yeah.
And what kind of grabbed your attention the most thing about jiu-jitsu? I know you said that it kind of, when you got on and you started rolling or you drilling or whatever, mm-hmm. you kind of lost, maybe you kind of could compartmentalize and get rid of a lot of stress or things going on and focus on jiu-jitsu itself. And that's kind of what it always did for me as well, mm-hmm. is because it takes, you're basically playing chess with your whole entire body when you're doing jiu-jitsu. So it's very hard to think about other things when you're doing jiu-jitsu, which that's one thing that I like about it. But is there anything else that kind of grabbed your attention besides that? I know you did a CrossFit as well. So I don't know if maybe the kind of the exercise part of jiu-jitsu as well attracted you to it too, or
for sure. I like lifting. I like working out. I like the physical aspect of it. And just that it was a challenge, right? It was not something you come to five or six classes and you've mastered it. I like, having to work for it and have that like perseverance of getting better. And then, as you do it, getting better is kind of addicting too, right? Learning more and wanting to beat people. And
well, you told me once you boxed for a while, right?
I did like a little bit, nothing serious.
And just you've done powerlifting.
Like, mm-hmm, yeah. So I've done some different things. Yeah. So I enjoy, working out and trying different sports and things like that.
Yeah. So you're pretty competitive by nature.
I am competitive by nature. Yeah.
Right. I know the main thing Matt kind of wanted to talk about was he brought up, you know, we see like jiu-jitsu, I believe jiu-jitsu is awesome for self-defense for women. Now we see like a lot of women have trouble getting into jiu-jitsu sometimes because of, I don't know if it's because the class is mainly dominated by men, you know, depending on, I guess, where you're doing it at. But I guess what helped you kind of get past the intimidation of getting on the mats and doing it?
I think the fact that I had people that were already doing it that I knew. So I had like a group of people I knew that were already doing jiu-jitsu. So that helped the intimidation factor for me. So I wasn't walking into a class with nobody, like not knowing anyone. So I think that helped me. But I know, like, just as being a girl, you know, if I walked in, you know, and there was no girls, that would probably be intimidating. But if I walked into a class and I saw some other girls, that would make me feel a little more comfortable coming into a class.
And what's the, I mean, you mentioned like rolling around with dirty boys, like is it a sexual thing, like the proximity and how it's kind of an intimate sport, or is it the fact that you could get hurt? What is the intimidation exactly?
I think it's a little bit of all of that, right? Like everyone's sweaty, being like, you know, before you do it, you think you're going to care about being that close to someone who's sweating on you and who might smell great, or, and you, like, I thought it was weird, like that I was going to roll with my kids, you know, like that. But once you start doing it, you realize that that's not how it is when you're rolling, right? That's not, you're thinking about, you know, arm barring someone or choking them out or something like that. And it's not what I thought before, right? I started doing it. So.
Right. And I was trying to find statistics on women versus men that did jiu-jitsu as well, just overall. And I haven't found any yet. It's a pretty specific thing.
I think I did have one woman tell me once, if my husband knew what I was just doing on those mats, he'd kill me. Right. Because of that, the physical part of it. But for the most part, it seems like every woman that I've met in here that's tried it has ended up really liking it.
Yeah, I think, for the most part, I think there's occasionally someone who tries it and they're like, yeah, this isn't for me. And that's fair. And I know, like, there's a guy I know his wife won't let him roll with any women, but like, it's pretty rare, right? And out of all the people I know that do jiu-jitsu, there's one person who's like that. So I think it's, you know, I think if you don't do the sport, you might feel like that.
Might look at it and say,
yes. Yeah. But if you're doing the sport, you realize there's nothing like that.
Yeah, here's something that I would take as somewhat reputable. It's BJJ Fanatics had a study on women in jiu-jitsu, and it said the jiu-jitsu population for women, they only take about roughly a little under 25% of practitioners that do. They break down like demographics, mm-hmm. and okay, these are all the people that do jiu-jitsu. It said roughly between 23% and 25% are women. The rest,
and I'd
are
say
men.
That's pretty close to what we have out here.
That's right. Actually higher than I thought.
You thought it'd be higher, yeah?
No, I thought that's higher. I thought it would be lower.
Yeah, yeah. Another website says, I have no idea what this website says. This is like Brazilian jiu-jitsu employees. I don't know how they got the. I don't even know what that even means. If they're saying out of all the jiu-jitsu gyms and stuff, and I'm assuming this is America, it says 16% are women jiu-jitsu employees versus the 84% are men.
Yeah.
Instructors.
That's instructors. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's right. So basically between 16 and 25% roughly is out of the population of jiu-jitsu would be, you know, women. Right. So yeah, you could say it is majority probably men. Mm-hmm. I seen it. What I was trying to find too is the increase as well. I mean, it looks like there's a pretty good increase. So like early 2000s, there was like only like 5% was like women.
So it's really grown.
Doing jiu-jitsu. I mean, that's actually a pretty big increase in women doing jiu-jitsu. I apologize. What part were we at? I was super sidetracked by trying to find a statistic on that.
We were talking about what exactly is intimidating.
Oh, right.
It's intimidating to come in and, you know, there's people who are like twice your size. You know, there's some of the guys we roll with are, you know, literally double my weight. So that's intimidating. And I think there's some trust, you know, that goes, like, once you start rolling with people, you know, you start to trust them more and you know they're going to be safe to roll with. So.
Well, and for me, I was surprised, you know, like 99% of the people I've met out there are just are man or woman, like really good people.
Yeah. Oh, for right? sure.
And
yeah.
all these guys that you're going to roll against that are 6'2", 220, like they're going to help you. They're mm-hmm. going to take it easy on you. I mean, they'll save the harder rounds for the guys, yeah. right? They're not going to crush you. They're not going to hurt you
right.
on purpose, you know?
Right.
Yeah. yeah, and that's where probably 99% of the places I've trained, I've been fortunate Same to train experience. At a lot of places. Yeah, you know, 99% of, I would say, jiu-jitsu practitioners are really nice, especially mm-hmm. when they're dealing with women and children.
For sure.
Which I think that's the whole kind of, if you want to go back to Bushido or whatever, you know, or all that martial arts essentially originates from, I think it's part of, mm-hmm. it's part of that culture of martial arts, I believe, that a lot of people uphold
right.
as well.
And I think as more I do it, the more comfortable I am saying to someone when we start, like, you know, hey, be nice to me, or I have a competition coming up or whatever, you know, and ask right. them to be courteous or whatever. And then too, I found that when I first started, I didn't want to roll with upper belts because I felt like I was not good enough to roll with them and I would be just like a rest round for them. But, you know, now I would rather roll with upper belts because I learn things from them because they're going to slow right. down and teach me things. And like, so sometimes I'll avoid those like brand new white belts who are guys who maybe are just like powering through everything. So yeah. you kind of learn who to roll with, who's safe and things like that as you do it.
Well, it's actually interesting you say that. So I guess with Hoist Gracie and Craig Kramer, which Craig Kramer is like one of Hoist Gracie's kind of top black belts. And they said the number one advice they would give to everybody that's in jiu-jitsu, their basically jiu-jitsu journey, that you need to roll with women and children. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because, like, one, right, no matter, like, for example, women, like, right, you're stronger than, you know, 99% of children or kids, mm-hmm. right? And same thing with men. Men are essentially stronger, you know, than all of women and children. So it's like, so basically when you know, like, you can just basically grab you, flip them over, like, that doesn't do any good for you or the other person. So by actually rolling with women and children, you should try to basically roll with them using no strength whatsoever to actually apply technique when you're training with them. And that's actually one of the things that Hoist and Craig say, that they actually increase their jiu-jitsu or tell their, you know, kind of upper belts or like, you know, purple, brown belts to actually roll with more women or roll with children that are men, because that's how you actually get to better developing your skills, because you can't just like crush the people essentially because you're just bigger and stronger.
Well, even on Main Street, when we had all those teenagers, your dad would say every other round, go get a kid, teach him something, show him something.
Right.
And then go back to an adult, back and forth.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It does a lot of good for somebody anytime you teach somebody something, that's you having to understand something good enough to break it down and explain it to somebody else. And if you can understand on that kind of level, then you actually understand it or mm-hmm. know it, versus if you can't explain somebody how to do an arm bar for mount, then you may not actually know how to do an arm bar as for mount as well.
Right. Yeah.
Something from the beginning, when you started this, did you see yourself competing and winning tournaments and this becoming a,
No. I mean, you did talk me into, you know, doing a competition after I did three classes, family fight night, which I had no clue what I was doing. But I didn't really see myself competing like beyond that, at all. So, but, I guess just wanting to like test yourself, right. And see like, you know, where you compare against other white belts and well now blue belts, but yeah. So, but no, I did not see that when I started doing this at all. So,
right. Now, also, like, kind of going back to for women, you know, doing it for self-defense, mm-hmm. the thing that we kind of started briefly talking about this before we started recording the podcast, but the thing, which I completely agree with you, I think it does help for women to get, you know, into jiu-jitsu if you kind of have a woman's class, and that allows them to kind of understand some basic fundamentals of jiu-jitsu and maybe be comfortable and create, you know, friendship there. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I would bring up to women as well, that where they say, well, just in general, like, oh, I don't want to do jiu-jitsu because I'm rolling around with a 200-pound man, for mm-hmm. example. So the first thing I would, like, ask them would be, like, well, if, just for example, Leslie, if you're walking down the street and someone was to, like, attack you or, I don't know, kidnap you, sexually assault you, steal your purse, like, whatever, like, is it going to be a 200-pound man or is it going to be a 120-pound woman?
Right. It's most likely.
Probably going to be the 200-pound, 6-foot man that's going to probably bother you. So that's exactly why you should do jiu-jitsu and roll around with a 200-pound man, because that's who someone essentially is going to attack you. Now, right. I mean, they're not going to be a black belt in jiu-jitsu or a brown belt or whatever, but I mean, that just, it gets you comfortable with being uncomfortable with being that, you know, close in an altercation with somebody bigger than you. That's my opinion on it anyway.
For sure. I agree. I think too, like a common thing I hear with sexual assaults is, you know, your brain takes over but it's like that, you know, not your higher brain. So it's the brain that's like survival mode. You go into survival mode you just
fight or flight mode.
Yeah. But people forget there's freeze, and that's the
brain. Oh, freeze. Correct. Yes.
You know, it's fight, flight, or freeze. And most of the time people freeze when something like that happens. So they, you know, they just lay there. And so I think that's where training jiu-jitsu, you get put into those circumstances where you might feel uncomfortable and you want to freeze, but you can't. You have to think about moving and things. And so it's like a safe situation to force your brain out of that freeze mode and into, you know, moving and things like that and getting, you know. So I think that's, you know, the self-defense aspect of it is important, as, you know, getting your brain out of that.
Would you say at this point you're comfortable? Obviously, you don't want it, but if something happened, you'd be able to handle it.
I can't say with 100% certainty, because I don't think you know until you're.
I don't mean that you're going to walk away without a scratch on your body, but that you wouldn't freeze, that you could put up some kind of defense to whatever.
Yeah, I think there's certain situations. I think if someone had a weapon, a knife or a gun or something like that, right, you have to think about survival in those situations. But barring those situations, you know, I think.
What about if someone just grabbed you with his hands?
With his hands, yeah. Then I think I would feel comfortable fighting.
And at what point from your first day to now, would you say, do you think somebody has to do this for 2.5 years to reap that benefit?
No, I don't think you have to do it for 2.5 years. I think you felt
like a year.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But I don't want to say that, you know, like, you know, this is going to prevent any of those things.
Well, yeah,
right.
You can't like, say and it's prevent it.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, you might feel more comfortable in a situation. So
more confident as well.
More confident. Right? Yeah.
Which it's better to walk around that way.
Than yes.
I was too afraid to try it and I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally more vulnerable than I can be, you know, like.
And I think too, like jiu-jitsu just makes you a more confident person in general too. Yeah. So, you know, you might, you know, not find yourself in situations just because you're a more confident person.
Yeah. I think as well too, just even with self-defense, you know, you don't have to, like if someone attacks you, the basic objective is to get away from them as mm-hmm. well. So, I mean, I think as well, I think women are a lot more, you know, capable of defending themselves, or they're more than they realize. Cause it's not like, right, if you're getting attacked by a 200-pound guy, it's like 5'10" or 6 foot or whatever, like, right, you don't have to like put him in mount and mm-hmm. like arm bar him, right? That's not
save your own life.
Your objective is to get away from the person to run or whatever that is. Yeah. And that's, I think, a lot more accomplishable than what probably a lot of people realize as well, too, if you were getting attacked.
Did you see the video of the girl in the gym?
I did. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I actually, I know I did watch that. Cause she, I honestly can't remember. It's been a while since I watched it.
She arm bars him.
From on bottom, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Was that around here?
No, where was that at? That was, I forget. It was.
It was at like a, I'm not going to say Planet Fitness. Was that, like was that like was, a, yeah. was it a Planet
or
Fitness?
Or like a hotel gym or something like that.
Some sort of 24/7 gym.
So I think just having that awareness, you know, too, you know, and feeling confident that you can defend yourself.
And I think people think, oh, if something happened, I'd freeze. Mm-hmm. But I think after doing this for 6 months to a year, you would just do it.
Yeah, because it becomes muscle memory.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's a happy medium, because my dad and I go to these like self-defense seminars all the time mm-hmm. and stuff. And, you know, you can learn some basic fundamental tools. I almost call them tools, not necessarily skills, because mm-hmm. skills take time to develop. As we're a tool, right, you can pull it out and use it almost at any time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we try to show, is a tool that they can use to maybe get themselves away from something. But I think that to like really, obviously I'm biased, but like I think everybody should do some sort of continued training or constantly train, because that's the only way to really develop that skill, you know, turn mm-hmm. the tool into a skill. to use it at any time or be more adaptable when some if something was ever to happen to somebody. And that's the kind of the one like frustrating thing that I see with people is that they hire you to come do these self-defense seminars and you try to show them the best you can to do something in 2 hours, but it's like 2 hours and you never do this again for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how valuable at some point this isn't valuable anymore because you're not going to remember anything.
Right. Yeah. It can't just be one time situation. Yeah.
But I said this to Austin the other day. At this point, you could walk away from this right now, but you'll always remember an armbar. You'll always remember a cross choke. There's certain things that you'll know for the rest of your life because you've put so much time into it.
Yeah. And that's where, like, I try to say you need to do some sort of continued training or train for a period, extended period of time because, like Matt said, like, probably if you just stop today and 10 years go by, you could probably do an armbar for mount still because you've drilled it so many times or shrimp or something like that.
Right. For sure. But if you came to two classes, you're not going to have that. Yeah.
Right.
So you teach our women's only class on Monday nights. When you talk to people, what are their reasons? When you talk to these women, what are you hearing as the reasons why they're trying this? Just for sport, for self-defense, for fitness?
I think it's different reasons. We have, a couple people who do, they're like cross training. So someone boxes, so she's doing this as well. I think other women are interested in it for self-defense.
Okay. I actually had another question to see what you thought on this as well. So we have, obviously we do kids jiu-jitsu here. And so basically we have, I would probably say actually our kids jiu-jitsu classes are probably 50% girls. I mean, it's pretty close to almost being split 50-50 most generally, which is really cool because I think that's important for kids to learn at a young age. The thing that's interesting, though, I don't know if Matt, if you've realized this, and it's something obviously that I've been thinking about, because obviously from the business side of it, I want to fix this. But when the girls like that are doing jiu-jitsu, when they typically get about 13, 14, 15 years old, they stop doing jiu-jitsu. And I don't know if it's because of a develop like their body's developing and they get like uncomfortable with doing it at that point, or if there's I don't know, but that I was curious what you thought about that, of maybe why.
I think a part of it along with that might be a perception that like it's not cool anymore, like that's when they're finding themselves in
there's
school
that too
and popularity and stuff like that.
Yeah, I
think so. I think if you start to get, I mean, I have a little bit of cauliflower ear. That's a turnoff for girls. I always said if I got cauliflower ear, I was quitting, but here I have it and I'm still here. So, but yeah. I think like those things, can also be a deterrent to like a young girl. If I was 15 and I was getting cauliflower ear for sure, I would be like, no, this isn't for me. But yeah, I think just like, they're changing so much at that age. And unless they're really invested in competing or something like that, where they're, I think they're probably, you're going to lose some at that point.
Yeah.
Cause they're interested in, looking pretty and doing their nails, and that doesn't go along with jiu-jitsu so much. So
unless you're Brock Lesnar's daughter.
Why? What does she do?
Have you seen Brock Lesnar's daughter?
Yeah, she looks exactly like him, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Like she, body and everything.
Yeah. She just won like a state title or something for her. I forget if she's in college or high school or whatever. I think she's still high school. She's like a senior and just won like the state title in Minnesota or something.
Wow. Against guys.
No, it wasn't against guys. Yeah. I don't think, but she actually scares me. If you look at a picture of her.
I would be interested though if you got more girls like into competing, if that helped them stay in the sport longer, or
Right. That's what we were.
Well, and that's why I said it's a perception, because I mean Erin's into doing her nails.
Yeah.
Right? Erin's girly.
Yeah.
But she also does this.
Right.
Like you can have
you can do both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think too, if you have more, I'm not really, I don't like to do my nails. I don't, it's okay to, I think too, if you have more, girl, like older, women role models too, that are still in the gym, you have the purple belts, the blue belts, things like that. You're probably going to maybe have better retention with your girls too, if they have those role models.
Right. Yeah.
So what would you, I know you have to get going. What would you say to someone that was thinking about it or had an interest in it, but just whatever, for all the reasons we talked about today, was nervous or had reservations about getting on the mats?
I would just say come try one class and, you know, go from there. But I think until you try it, you're not going to know. So,
right.
Yep.
Yeah, so you don't have any regrets starting to do jiu-jitsu or train or anything
other
like
than
that?
My cauliflower ear. No.
Are you going to do this till you're a black belt?
I hope so. Yeah.
Because Luke and I were talking about that. We figured you'd be like 73 or
probably,
something.
Probably, but, yeah. But, you know, I'm just, yeah. Well, I don't really care about my belts, though, you know, so to me, I don't.
Exaggerated. Well, yeah. Right.
I don't really care. You know, I wanted to be a white belt forever. So
oh, that's true.
I don't really care about my, about belts that much, I guess. So I guess I just want to be able to do it for as long as I can. So.
Okay. And I guess last thing here as well, too, so we'll wrap it up. But what is one advice or tip or trick or whatever that you would share with maybe a lady that's wanting to start jiu-jitsu that you wish you would have known or had when you started?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Or a piece of advice, whatever, however you want to spin that.
Honestly, it's just like, you know, just come in and try it. You know, that would be my advice. Like if you're on the fence at all, I think, you know, if you have the opportunity, if coming to a women's class makes you more comfortable, you know, just come and give it a try because you're not going to know until you actually try it. You can watch it all you want, but you're not going to know until you try it if it's for you or not.
Well, so sometimes I'll even tell people like, and I wish people would just do this, but if you don't want to spar at the end, you know, what we call rolling. Then just do the warm-ups and do the instructional and the technique and the drilling and then watch that for a while. And then, you know, when you do decide to get into rolling, tell the person, mm-hmm. you know, it's my first time and whatever. Like, it's not as scary as you think.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's definitely, it's not as scary as you think it might be. So, yeah.
Awesome. I love it. It's not scary as you think it's going to be. Come in and get choked out. Well, thank you, Leslie, for talking to us about women's jiu-jitsu. We appreciate it. And yeah, so we do have a women's only jiu-jitsu class at Lasher Training Centers every Monday at 6:30 p.m. And Leslie is one of our amazing instructors. Aaron's okay at it, I guess.
Aaron's very good at it, too.
That's debatable. I'm just kidding. She's great, too. But come in and try the class. You can always try a week of class for free or a couple weeks if you need to, whatever you need to do. But thanks, Leslie. I appreciate it. And if you believe it, you can achieve it. And subscribe and like and all that stuff on our Facebook and wherever else you see this. Thanks.